gives this woman to this man?
My wife and I.
It is my great privilege to invite you to this wedding of Joseph Epp and Christiana Langbrook. Before we continue on, let us have a brief word of prayer. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks for bringing this young couple to this great day and for calling them together. We ask, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of Thy Spirit, that Thou would bless them, keep them, and guide them through every day of their new life they begin together as husband and wife. And we pray as well that Thy Spirit would be with us through the course of this worship service, that all things would be done according to the principles of Thy Word and to Thy glory. Lord Jesus, be present with us, and we pray that as we witness this marriage ceremony, we would be filled much of Thee and Thy love as we see a display of Thy great redeeming work in saving sinners. Lord Jesus Christ, grant us this for the sake of Thine own work, and we pray this in Thy name alone. Amen. At this time, we will sing together, "To God Be the Glory." You may be seated. We now continue our service of marriage this morning using the institution and purpose of marriage form approved in the Free Reformed Churches. We are gathered here as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ with family and friends to witness the confirmation of this marriage of Joseph Epp and Christiana Langbrook. It is good that the marriage of believers is confirmed in such a gathering, and that God's blessing be asked to rest upon it. God the Lord reveals to us in his word that he has created man and woman and destined them for each other, giving them the gift and calling of marriage and promising his blessing upon it. Scripture teaches us that God our Father, who created heaven and earth and all that is therein, created man in his image. Male and female he created them. Genesis 1 verse 27. He also said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Genesis 2 verse 18. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Genesis 2 verse 24. "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply." Genesis 1 verse 28. This excellent gift of God has been blemished by man's fall into sin. But God, who is great in mercy, has been pleased to restore the unity of marriage and to confirm his blessing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has honored marriage as an institution of his heavenly Father by his presence and the miracles at the marriage at Cana. He condemned the breaking of the marriage bond when he said, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Matthew 19, verse 6. In the apostolic teaching of the New Testament, marriage is recognized as a gift of God, sanctified through the word of God and through prayer. The apostle calls the unity in marriage a great mystery, which he relates to the unity between Christ and his church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. For these reasons, the married state ought not to be lightly or thoughtlessly entered into, but with reverence and thankfulness and in the fear of the Lord. The communion for all of life may thus be a matter of joy, in which man and wife receive love and faithfulness from each other, assistance and dedication. Because of sin, married people also experience much trouble and affliction. Nevertheless, they may, as he promised, be assured of the grace and help of the Lord. And that you, in marriage, may live according to the commandments of God and trusting in his promises, you ought to know for what reasons God has instituted marriage. In the first place, marriage is instituted in order that man and wife, joined together in true love, may belong to each other in joy and may faithfully help and assist each other in all things which belong to temporal and eternal life. In the second place, through marriage, the human race and also the church of the Lord are built. If it pleases God to give you children, you are to raise and guide them in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Further, let every man live with his wife, and let every woman live with her husband, in accordance with the will of God and with a clear conscience, so that our bodies, as temples of the Holy Spirit, be not defiled. Next, you are to hear from the word of God how you are to behave towards each other in the married state. The man, who has been appointed by God to be the head of the wife, shall love his wife as Christ loves his church. He will lead and comfort her, serve and protect her, even as Christ is the consolation and assistance to his church. The wife shall be subject to her husband, even as the church is subject to Christ. She shall love and serve her husband, follow him, care for the family with him, and display the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. According to the commandment of God, you shall both do your work with faithfulness and dedication. You shall also understand that your family is part of a larger community, and that you have a calling with respect to church and society. Live in the fear of the Lord. Remember that you are heirs of the grace of life. Be forgiving and live together in wisdom, that your prayers be not hindered. As we now proceed to the confirmation of this marriage, we request that you, bride and groom, join hands. We'll proceed with the vows. May I have the rings, please? Joseph, please repeat after me. I, Joseph.
I, Joseph.
Take you, Christiana.
Take you, Christiana.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better.
For better.
For worse.
For worse.
For richer.
For richer.
For poorer.
For poorer.
In sickness.
In sickness.
And in health.
And in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy law.
According to God's holy law.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token of my constant faithfulness.
As a token of my constant faithfulness.
And abiding love.
And abiding love.
Christiana, please repeat after me. I, Christiana.
I, Christiana.
Take you, Joseph.
Take you, Joseph.
To be my husband.
To be my husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better.
For better.
For worse.
For worse.
For richer.
For richer.
For poorer.
For poorer.
In sickness.
In sickness.
And in health.
And in health.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part. According to God's holy law.
According to God's holy law.
In the presence of God.
In the presence of God.
I make this vow.
I make this vow.
I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token of my constant faithfulness.
As a token of my constant faithfulness.
And abiding love. Be assured that the Lord God has joined you together, and his grace called you to this holy bond of marriage. The Father of all mercies fill you with his grace, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you his blessing. Amen. In accordance with the laws of the province of British Columbia and the institution of the Christian Church, I now pronounce you man and wife. Joseph, you may kiss your bride. At this time, please stand and sing with me, He Leadeth Me.
Thank you.
At this time, I would ask all the guests and the wedding party to please be seated. We now continue with our marriage service with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, who has brought this bride and groom together and united them through the bond of marriage, we thank you for the blessing given to this couple that they may go through life together under your care. Grant them this grace that, through the love of Christ, they may more and more grow towards each other, bound together in the unity of the true faith. Grant them the strength of your Holy Spirit, enabling them as husband and wife to live together in their family according to your holy will. Grant them thy favor, that should it please you to give them children, they may raise them in accordance with the demands of your covenant, in the instruction, discipline, and love of Christ. Sanctify the tie that binds them to their blessing, to the edifying of the church, as a witness to others and to the glory of your holy name. Hear us, Father of all mercies, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to ask the bride and groom to please rise and step forward for the presentation of the Bible. Joseph and Christiana, it is probably a greater privilege I have in giving you this Bible than even performing your marriage. This Bible is the inspired and infallible Word of God. Through both of your confessions to me, you have made it very plain it is your desire with your whole hearts to serve Christ, and you must always look to that Word. Not ultimately to yourselves, to your experiences, not ultimately to any man or any woman, but to that word alone. And that word, by the grace of God, will guide you and keep you forever. Well, at this time, I would also like to ask the witnesses to join us as we proceed with the signing of the forms. Follow me. Take one of those, and let's see here, right there. At this time, I ask you to please stand and sing Psalter Selection 241, and for the bride and groom and witnesses to please return to their seats. Please be seated. The portion of God's word we would like to read together is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first 8 verses. And please give your attention to the reading of God's inspired, infallible, and holy word. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And thus far our reading of God's holy word. May his Spirit add his blessing to it. Joseph, Christiana, family, friends, and all those who have come to witness this service, this portion from God's word is what was chosen by the bride and groom to have as their wedding text and the foundation on which they would have their new life together built. In particular, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, speaking of charity or love, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's a very good choice that you both have made. Love is what will keep you together. And when we speak of love in this chapter, we should understand in the context in which we speak of it. First of all, we speak of it in the context of a God of love. We're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. Love in and of himself. The Heavenly Father loves not only himself, but his Son, who he eternally begets. And together the Son, out of love to the Father, from them both proceeds the Holy Spirit. And in the triune wisdom of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they chose, out of love, to redeem sinners that had gone lost. It was the great plan of God before anything else that he would glorify his Son and himself through love and the redeeming of sinners. If we would rightly understand love in this chapter, we must start with God. And Joseph and Christiana, that is very true of you as well. Your marriage cannot start with you. Your marriage must begin with God. Your very relationship that you have now embraced as being husband and wife is a picture of God and his love. A picture of God and his love for sinners. Joseph, if Christiana ever takes the place of God, you have slid off that foundation of love. And Christiana, if Joseph ever takes that place of God in your life, you have slid off that foundation of love. Your purpose together is him, not one another. As glorious and joyous as the new life you have begun together will be by God's grace, it must begin with love and God's love. But what is love? We've talked about God, his love. We've talked about his plan and redemption. But what is love? It's amazing how many different definitions there are, whether you find them in books or songs or dreams or paintings. But really, love, biblically, and here in the text at heart, is a choice. A choice and a commitment. Now, like with every choice and every commitment comes affections, feelings, but both belong together. Joseph and Christiana, you love each other, and everyone who knows you has seen it all over your faces for quite a while now. They can see the feelings of love, and the affections of love, and the joy and happiness love can bring with it. But love is deeper than that, which you both know. Love is that commitment Love is a promise. To use the full biblical impetus of the thought, love is a covenant. A purposeful relationship you enter into that cannot be broken. And there will be times, as everyone in our midst knows, that either is married or has been married, that there are times those blessed affections and feelings of love, which has often inspired the song and the painting, don't match the commitment. In fact, sometimes those feelings and affections seem gone or inverted completely. But what keeps a married couple together, and what for so many people leads to so much grief and pain when that spouse is taken away from them, is not the feelings, but the commitment. It's the commitment that keeps them together through the years. And when that spouse is gone, it's been that commitment and the missing piece of themselves they feel gone that leads to the trial, the difficulty. You must always remember, though it may seem there will be no clouds in the sunny day of your affections as you begin your marriage, though the sea of your love now may seem perfectly calm and as far as the eye can see, clouds will come, waves will roll, and indeed believe and know through it all, it will not be your affections and your feelings that keep you together. By the grace of God, it will be that covenant, that commitment, that choice to be together. That's the type of love we are speaking about this afternoon. We've spoken of a God of love. We've spoken of the meaning of love and that commitment, that covenant. But in the verses you've chosen, there's five particular things about love highlighted for us. In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Firstly, charity or love beareth all things. Love beareth all things. That promise, that commitment, which often has glorious affections and feelings associated with it, puts up with a lot. It bears all the different assaults that comes at it. From every side, it holds it together. And that's what your love must be and do. You will have assaults from all over the place on your love. The devil will assault this, because as I mentioned, this is not first and foremost about you. This service is about God and His church. And Satan hates that. He will not let this marriage go unchallenged. Further, you will find your own indwelling sin and your own selfishness. Joseph, you by nature do not want to sacrifice for your wife. And Christiana, you by nature will not want to submit to your husband. And your own flesh will assault you. All the messages of this world and the media, where even more than half, some statistics record, of Christian marriages end in divorce, where there is so much rampant immorality all around us, to say nothing of the busyness of work and being a student and starting a new family on your own, there are tremendous challenges. But love will bear them all. Not those feelings, not simply your desire and your commitment, but the God of love, who has given you that love for one another and will uphold you in this calling He has given you. Your love will bear all if you keep that focus back upon God, back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. That's the first thing. Love beareth all. Secondly, In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, love believeth all things. Love trusts. Love holds on. Believe one another. Trust each other. Requires two things on your part in very particular and practically. Number one, it assumes you're completely honest. Completely honest with one another. That was the beauty of the Garden of Eden, and that is one of the beauties of marriage. Naked together without shame. To rejoice together as husband and wife, nothing hidden. Not only physically, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Be completely truthful. That's the first thing. Secondly, there will be times you are not worthy of one another's trust. You will hurt each other. You will not be truthful. Or you will give in to your own paranoid suspicions, though there not be reason for it, that this person has betrayed you. Trust one another. Put one another and hold one another accountable in love before your own suspicions. They will come. Be truthful. Believe the other person because you're called to do so. But beyond those two practical items and relationships, trust God. Trust God. Regardless of what pop psychology will tell you, regardless of what modern theories will tell you, certainly regardless of how you feel, always believe God first for your commitment today, for your life together always, for everything. Always go back to God's word. Always believe that. You could put it this way. Doubt yourself. Perhaps even doubt one another. Doubt everything, but never, ever the word of Christ. Love cannot do that. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Thirdly, love hopeth all things. Love hopes. Love thinks the best. Love buoys up and floats to the top. Love always rightly esteems God and His Word. It's beautiful the way things progress. Love puts up with everything. Love believes everything. And when by the grace of God you believe, there is hope. There is hope. When love believes, there is hope. Because God is a God that is all-powerful. Because God is a God that cannot be stopped. Because our Lord Jesus has come and not only died, He has arisen from the dead and is enthroned in heaven victorious. God's love has never been and cannot be stopped. And when that love of God is your love, neither will your relationship together. You always have reason to hope. Not in yourselves, not in each other, but always in God, always in Christ, always in His love. There is always hope. Never give up. Never give up. We have no reason to despair. We have no reason to surrender because we have a victorious God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Every reason for hope. Fourthly, love not only beareth all things, love not only believeth all things, love not only hopeth all things, but love endureth all things. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, the love endures. Love cannot be killed. Love cannot be overcome. Love will always survive. Your love will be assaulted. It will be attacked. But it will always come through. It will always push on. The love will survive. Love endureth all things. Lastly, fifthly, the last thing in these two verses from 1 Corinthians 13 the Lord's led you to choose is that charity never faileth. Love never fails. Love never loses. Love never passes away. Love never disappears and dissipates. It's again another horrible way our culture has gone completely wrong. Love is not something you fall into and then fall out of, like coming out of a boat. Love is a choice. It is a commitment. It is a covenant. And it will not pass away. The affections may for a time, but not the God-given commitment as it looks to Christ for its strength. It will not pass away. There will be times when it will feel as if your love has failed, particularly when you see your own failings and the failings of your spouse. But remember, this love is a love of God, and this is a love about redemption and showing forth redemption. Keep your commitments, though your affections fail. Keep your covenant, though your heart fail. Look to God for your hope and your strength and your love, your marriage, just like Christ's marvelous redeeming work, will never fail. Well, how can love do all this? How can love bear all? How can love believe all? How can love hope all? How can love endure all? How can love never fail? Just as I began with our brief message this afternoon, it is because it is God's love. It is God's purpose. Marriage is that picture of Christ and His church. That is our comfort through all the afflictions and trials and ups and downs of marriage. That must ever be your perspective in every aspect of your life together forward. And we must all of us remember this afternoon that as we came to share in the joy and happiness of this blessed day for Joseph and Christiana, that when we have come together, we have not just come to share in their joy, to share in their love. We have not just come to express our thoughts and our support. We have come and we have heard of Christ. We have heard of God. And we have heard of His love for sinners. Fundamental question for Joseph and Christiana. Fundamental question for all of us this afternoon is, what will we do with this glorious God of love and the work of His Son, Jesus Christ? That's the fundamental question for all of us. Marriage, love, is about sin and sacrifice, to not let sinners go, but to save them. Is that true of you? As you think of Joseph and Christiana, perhaps even remember them in your prayers this afternoon and this evening. What is your relationship with this great and glorious God? When you think about Him and His holiness and His justice, and you think about yourself, do you think of your sin, your shortcomings, and how you could stand before in the presence of God? If you've never thought of that before, that is the most important question of your life. And I promise you, if you do not believe me now, you certainly will later. But that is the most fundamental and important question of your life. But perhaps you have thought of it many times. And you've thought of it and been tempted to despair because you know God is just and God is holy and you are sinful and God can't accept you as you are. Because he'd have to deny himself, he'd have to compromise, he'd have to lie to accept someone like you or someone like me. But you don't have to despair. You don't have to be separate from God. And whether you've heard this message or one like it 1,000 times or never before in your life, the answer, the hope, is all shown for us in marriage, in God's love, in the fact he would sacrifice to save a sinful people. We're not here today about Joseph and Christiana. We're here today about the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God for the likes of people like you and me and all the folk of every different nation, tribe, and tongue throughout the sin-sick world. Please, if you have never trusted in Christ before, if you want to know how you may be right with a God, it is here. It is here in him. Christ has kept the law for the lawless. Christ has suffered the punishment due to criminals, eternal hell upon the cross. Look for salvation and a right standing with God in no other place but in him and his love. Let the picture of Joseph and Christianity, as God has called them to show it, be a reminder to you that there is a hope for a sinner with God. And as you contemplate and think again about marriage, about love, maybe about your own shortcomings, ever remember the marvelous love of God that bears all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things, and never fails. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great heavenly Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to remember Joseph and Christiana before thee. Grant them that great and glorious love for one another, that covenant commitment, and the affections of joy and happiness that can come with it. And let us all not just wish them well and seek to support them in this great and marvelous endeavor thou hast called them to, but Heavenly Father, embrace us in thy love for Jesus' sake and call sinners to faith and repentance and new life in him. Our Lord and our God, we ask this all in thy name. Amen. At this time, we will continue with our service with the singing of Psalm 121. And I ask all the guests to stand and the wedding party to please return to their places. Let us stand to sing Psalm 121. Before I take the great privilege of announcing to you our wedding couple, I've been asked to explain a little bit about how we will exit after the service. The wedding party and family will exit through those back doors, and then they will be closed, and then the ushers will come forward, and they will dismiss you out that door. These two sections going out through that way as they're directed, these two sections released, and then around the back and out that door. Well, it is my great privilege to present and announce Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Epp.